Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes after 12. This is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. And this is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, January 10th, 2019. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead this hour, mergers in Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley, both above ground and below the surface. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report gives us details about a major telecom merger announced this month and a merger between Zero Mountain and another cold storage service provider announced late last week. Paul Gatling will explain what those mean to local businesses in our second half hour. After this hour, on NPR's Here and Now, it sounds familiar, but this government shutdown isn't our first, second, or third. We'll get the backstory, plus the rest of the afternoon's news and much more. Here and Now from NPR begins at 1 today, right after Ozarks at Large on 91.3. The latest news about the removal of radioactive waste from more than 600 acres in Washington County, where the C4 reactor once worked, will be shared with the public tonight. Like previous information sessions about the C4 removal, this meeting will be at the Strickler Volunteer Fire Department and begins this evening at 6. University of Arkansas officials say the final phase of the C4 cleanup remains on schedule to be finished this spring. The Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce is planning a series of programs in 2019 to increase understanding of diversity, equity, and inclusion. The work will be done in conjunction with Just Communities of Arkansas, a Little Rock-based organization with more than a half century of designing methods to increase understanding. This week, we met with Graham Cobb, the president and CEO of the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce, at the chamber offices on the Bentonville Square, to learn more about why the Chamber is embarking on the year-long effort to address diversity, equity, and inclusion.
So I've known Donald Wood with Just Communities of Arkansas for years, actually knew of Just Communities of Arkansas before Donald Wood, long ago when it wasn't even called Just Communities of Arkansas, and I was at Central High in the 90s. So we've talked about programming along these lines because, you know, we have a board member, Ben Hassan, with Walmart, the chief culture and diversity and inclusion officer, who said, if you're not uncomfortable, you're not doing the work, right? So sometimes you need someone to help create okay places to be uncomfortable. And that's really true, I think, with businesses and business leaders. Awkward is awkward and uncomfortable is uncomfortable. And these are things that we have kind of not dealt with for years as a country and as a society.
Cobb says he thinks the chamber has a responsibility to play that role. He says a recent 2-day workshop he attended helped him further believe that discussions about equity are incredibly important now more than ever. And he thought everybody should at least have an option to have that same experience.
And that social accountability, I felt, was really valuable, as well as looking at what they called the groundwater of things, kind of how we get to where we are and why we need to consider that not everybody got here at the same rate, nor did everyone, you know, if kickoff is at 7 p.m. Eastern, not everybody kicked off at 7 p.m., right? So that was powerful to me, and I thought, okay, how do we create an opportunity for kind of the Main Street business owner to work on some of this? Because, look, I understand that chamber members and Main Street business owners on the whole are trying to keep their doors open. And if it doesn't drive the bottom line, hey, how do I justify this? Because it's all I can do to employ these 10 people, and it's all that I can do to pay rent or to be profitable. So my intent is to bring some of this programming for chamber members where they don't have to justify it on their bottom line. We only ask of their time. This is not for the C-level officer. This is for the smaller operator, the owner-operator, or that front desk or cashier or what have you, or a salesperson or a small HR department, something for them to go through. So we can just begin to have these conversations.
Programming with a blueprint of discussing awkward or possibly uncomfortable issues and topics with a goal of creating a better public environment may be noble and may be important, but there is a basic marketing challenge here. Not all of us leap into situations where we think we might be uncomfortable, awkward, or challenged. Graham Cobb says to that point, it's important to note that inclusion means inclusion of everybody.
We all have things to learn. And the goal is not to make people feel bad. The goal is to have a better understanding of everyone so that we can all feel better about this. At the end of the day, the goal is knowledge. How can I, what are the holes in my current knowledge that are keeping me from best embracing, preparing, and welcoming people that are different than me? I mean, I want to know the stuff I don't know. And I think that's true across the community and certainly for business owners. I mean, nobody wants to look up and see that they've missed an opportunity. So when you look at from an economic standpoint, anytime you're walking into an educational opportunity, you know there's going to be some weird, awkward feelings.
And to be clear, the marketing for the programming will not be let's have lunch and a really painful conversation. Rather, Cobb says, it's an opportunity to embrace the future of Bentonville. He says there just aren't many other cities with 50,000 people that have the wide range of experiences and cultures that Bentonville has.
When you walk into the neighborhood market and you see people expressing religious views by the clothes they're wearing, and you see non-American-born, new Americans shopping alongside legacy Arkansans, and you hear multiple languages being spoken. You don't see that outside of certain neighborhoods in America, you know? And a lot of times people talk about the melting pot, and one of the analogies I loved was the tossed salad, you know, that really you have places that maintain autonomy in their own culture and whatnot. And in Bentonville, I think a lot of those flavors cross over, from 9 to 5 during the day than they do in a whole lot of other places.
Cobb describes the Chamber of Commerce world as the intersection of community and economy, and he says Bentonville is an accelerated example of that intersection. And while American business has long been a Caucasian, male-dominated world, that's changing. Diversity of thought and experience, he says, produces higher-performing organizations and higher-performing businesses.
In Bentonville, Arkansas, we're accelerating faster than a whole lot of places, I think. And we need an economic development organization, the Chamber, that's on board with that, that helps move some of that forward. And, I tell you what, I am very, very fortunate. And the members of the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce are very fortunate that they have such a wonderfully progressive board that's also grounded in realism, grounded in reality, I'll say, because this is the kind of thing that they want to see us doing.
The programming itself will include 4 lunch and learn style gatherings with additional programming through CRAFT Bentonville. CRAFT stands for Community Retention and Attraction of Future Talent. The actual curriculum of the sessions will be designed by Just Communities of Arkansas and Sierra Polk, Director of Talent Initiatives and Innovative Inclusion at the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce.
People can look at it and say, well, if a 95-year-old organization like the Chamber of Commerce in a town that's 50,000 people in Northwest Arkansas is moving this forward and is a part of this, then maybe we should all be a part of this, you know? And I feel like it only takes a few champions, a few people sitting around talking at lunch about programs like this where people begin to want to be a part of it. And if you look at cities like Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Cincinnati, you know, you have Fortune 500 companies that are volunteering to be assessed and publicly, I guess, scored, evaluated might be a better term, publicly on their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. I think that's fantastic.
Graham Cobb is the president and CEO of the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce. He talked with us this week at the chamber offices about upcoming programming addressing diversity, equity, and inclusion. He says as the schedule is developed, the chamber will post updates on their Facebook and Instagram pages and at the chamber's website, greaterbentonville.com. This is Ozarks at Large. After 27 years, the Buddy Bass Tournament at Beaver Lake is being discontinued. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
The Rogers Lowell Area Chamber of Commerce has hosted the annual fishing competition on Beaver Lake for almost three decades. Steve Cox, Senior Vice President of Economic Development for the Chamber, says the tournament was a way to raise awareness of Beaver Lake's impact on the region.
It basically just was an event that was able to showcase the lake, showcase the economic importance that the lake, that Beaver Lake specifically played for Rogers and for Northwest Arkansas, because a lot of the growth that we've seen over the past 20 to 30 years would not have been possible had it not been for the steady water supply that Beaver Lake provides. So it was a great way to do that, encourage tourism for the lake, and just really showcase it as a quality of life amenity for residents and for visitors alike.
The bass fishing competition attracted around 600 anglers and 200 spectators annually. However, Cox says chamber officials decided it was time for a change.
We've had a very 27 successful year run with this tournament, and unfortunately, it became so big that it was something that the chamber just couldn't quite handle. And so, because it was so much success and the tremendous amount of staff planning and execution time, we just needed to kind of, as our mission is moving and our mission is changing, this was just something that we needed an opportunity to refocus and allow someone else to take advantage of hosting a bass tournament on Beaver Lake.
The annual event remained successful throughout its entire tenure. Cox says they had a record number of participants 2 years ago, and officials made money on the event every year. According to a press release, tournament proceeds helped the chamber fund economic development initiatives. While Cox says it's against chamber policy to share how much revenue an event generated, he says officials are not concerned about stepping down from hosting the bass fishing tournament.
We're comfortable with our budget moving into 2019 to make this decision. And by doing so, you know, for the economic development side, you know, we're continuing to grow at a great pace here in Northwest Arkansas. And, you know, the chamber was in a financial position that we felt that we could do that. The economic impact was about $120,000 from the visitors that came. You know, that's, you know, staying in hotels, that's, you know, buying gas and buying goods and eating at restaurants while they're in town and things like that. And so, you know, really that's what it was about, was to create the economic impact within Northwest Arkansas, which we were successful at doing. In terms of the revenue for the chamber, you know, we have other ways that we can make that up. And that was something that a decision our board was comfortable with making.
There are no immediate plans to replace the fishing competition, but Cox says the chamber will continue focusing on some of its other events throughout the year.
We have our traditional one, like our golf tournament, that we're still going to be doing. And we have our job fairs and our annual celebration coming up on February 2nd, which will be an evening honoring Mr. Dick Trammell, as he is retiring from, he's serving his last year as highway commissioner, and he is retired from Arvest Bank and is kind of Mr. Northwest Arkansas. So we want to have an evening to honor him for that. And so we always look at different ways, and we're just trying to streamline and figure out the most effective ways that we can keep our organization as strong and as influential and as vital and necessary as possible.
Steve Cox, Senior Vice President of Economic Development for the Rogers Lowell Area Chamber of Commerce, says they've spoken with people who have helped run the tournament in the past and would be happy to provide advice on planning a fishing tournament on Beaver Lake, should anyone be interested in that in the future. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boy, you're bothering me. Folks won't find us now because
friends, Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross. We gone fishing instead of just a wishing. Oh, yeah.
Louis Armstrong and Bing Crosby on Ozarks at Large. Is a rainy, cold night your idea of ideal fishing weather? Well, then you're in heaven. The forecast tonight, a slight chance of rain after midnight with lows in the mid-30s. The chance of rain tomorrow, 100%, according to the National Weather Service. Highs tomorrow, just in the upper 30s. Chances of rain remain strong for Friday night into Saturday morning. Highs Saturday afternoon, by the way, should be in the upper 30s to mid-40s across the entire KUAF listening area. All of that rain should mean aerial waterfalls are flowing Saturday afternoon and Sunday. And where are those waterfalls? Flip Putoff knows, and he'll share that information Sunday afternoon. Flip, the outdoors reporter for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, will deliver a free talk about waterfalls in Northwest Arkansas Sunday at 2 at Hobbs State Park in Rogers. He says he'll highlight some of the waterfalls that are not too difficult to reach, including some by hiking and a couple that he says you can even drive right up to. Flip's Waterfall Talk is at Hobbs State Park Visitor Center, located at Highway 12, just east of the Highway 12 War Eagle Road intersection. And his talk is free and open to the public. If you'd like more information, you can go to friendsofhobbs.com. Still to come this hour on Ozarks at Large, Madison County artist Madison Woods harvests mineral paint pigments from Ozark Creek rocks.
Sometimes you don't know until you get inside the rock and it's a surprise.
The paleo paintings of Madison Woods in about 5 minutes on this Thursday edition of Ozarks at Large.
Circle of Life Hospice offers a calm to the storm for families during end-of-life care of loved ones. With a focus on living, Circle of Life can provide comfort from pain and relief from symptoms to the patient while enabling families to live more fully. When the time is right, 1-800-495-5511 or nwacircleoflife.org. SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, continues its 64th season January 26th at Walton Arts Center. Maestro Paul Haas and SONA musicians present the season's second Masterworks concert, showcasing Verdi's Overture to La Forza del Destino and Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 2 featuring guest pianist Andrew Tyson. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org.
More than 2 years after voters legalized medical marijuana in Arkansas, the state's Medical Marijuana Commission will now grant licenses to dispensaries. Daniel Breen with KUAR in Little Rock was at last night's meeting, and he has this report.
Members of the commission had voted to outsource the grading of dispensary applications to avoid any potential setbacks. Now all five members of the commission voted to accept the scores of the Boston Consulting Group, tasked with grading nearly 200 applications. Scott Hardin, spokesman with the Department of Finance and Administration, says it should be 2 weeks until the top-scoring applicants are fully licensed.
Likely by Friday, Monday at the latest, that letter will go to those 32 companies that scored among the highest in each zone. They then have 7 days to pay a $15,000 licensing fee, post a $100,000 performance bond. And then once we confirm that they still have that storefront and they're ready to proceed, they are provided that license. So again, they'll likely be licensed within the next couple of weeks.
A total of 32 dispensaries will make up the inaugural group, spread out over 8 zones across the state. This marks what's likely the last big regulatory hurdle the commission had to overcome in a series of many that sidelined the availability of marijuana in the state for over 2 years. Now, with some growers expecting to have the product ready by April, they'll likely also have a place to sell it by then. In Little Rock, I'm Daniel Breen.
Artists Laboratory Theater and Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks are again teaming up for a series of acting workshops. Play a Part, a free 14-week acting workshop for veterans, begins February 4th, and then we'll meet every Monday from noon until 2 at Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks on North College Avenue in Fayetteville through mid-May. Each week, vets will have the opportunity to explore their stories. The Play Apart Workshop is part of the National Healing Arts Program, dedicated to using the arts to serve veterans and service members. The series of workshops will end with participants having an opportunity to create, write, and perform an original play to share for the public. No previous acting or writing experience is needed to participate in these workshops, and veterans who identify as women, people of color, and or LGBTQ+ are especially encouraged to collaborate. Participation every week, not required, but it is strongly encouraged because of the nature of rehearsals and performances. More information can be obtained by either sending an email to simone@artlabtheater.com or by calling 439-6046. The Arkansas Razorback men's basketball team, now 1-1 in conference play after last night's loss to Florida in Bud Walton Arena on the University of Arkansas campus. Razorbacks will next play Saturday afternoon, again in Bud Walton, when they host LSU at 5 p.m. The Arkansas Razorback women, also 1-1 against SEC opponents so far this year, are in Missouri tonight. Then they'll host Vanderbilt Sunday afternoon at 2. If you were looking for basketball on a college campus in our area tonight, you're out of luck. Both John Brown University basketball teams are away from home tonight, playing Science and Arts of Oklahoma. The University of the Ozarks squads also left the state to play basketball. They're in Jackson, Mississippi, for games against Belhaven University. And you won't be able to see basketball in Tahlequah tonight either. The Northeastern State University teams are on the road facing Fort Hays State.
President Trump doesn't want to compromise.
If I did something that was foolish, like gave up on border security...
First, he says Senate Republicans would come for him. Second, the House.
And the third ones would be, frankly, my base and a lot of Republicans out there and a lot of Democrats that want to see border security.
The political price of building a wall, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 3 to 6 on 91.3. This is Ozarks at Large. Nature artist Madison Woods paints with mineral pigments she's crushed from creek rocks, harvested from her family's Madison County homestead. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, her paleo palette reflects the rich colors of the Ozarks.
Watercolor artist Madison Woods wanders on a gravel bar along a year-round spring-fed creek on the Kings River watershed, searching for particular stones.
Well, these are mostly sandstones. And there's a lot of shale in here.
She bends down and picks up a stone. It sparkles in the cold early morning sunlight.
This one's kind of a fine grain. It's sandstone, so it's got some silica in it. But it's a beautiful, toasty, brown, tan kind of yellow color. It'll make a beautiful yellow paint.
Woods harvests stones for mineral pigments.
Once you start looking, you'll see all the different colors. This one's got a little more red in it. This one's got a little more russet in it. And this one will make a nice gray. They're all the colors that I make are shades of yellow and browns and reds. They're all earth tones.
She places the river stone onto a flat rock and smashes it with a rough chunk of limestone.
And inside, you can see a lot more brown than red. Sometimes you don't know until you get inside the rock, and it's a surprise.
We head to her workshop below the family house on a sunny terraced hillside, part of the family's 160-acre homestead southwest of Kingston. She places some dark sandstone fragments into a small stainless steel bowl on her workbench.
I need to crush these rocks, and I have a mortar and pestle. And then I'll put it in the pestle. And it's loud. It's loud work breaking rocks. And look, now it's broke up into smaller pieces. And then you just keep that up and keep that up until you get it ground up into a powder. And once you get the powder finely ground with another mortar and pestle that I have, a smaller one, that's your pigment. And once you have a pigment, you can make any kind of paint.
Woods, a retired environmental scientist, loves exploring the woods, she says, and experimenting. In this case, making paints from Ozark crushed minerals.
To make a watercolor, you make a solution with a resin from a tree out of the Middle East called gum arabic. I don't know what the tree's called, but the resin is called gum arabic. So I make a solution with that. and then you mix that as the water in your rock powder. And when that dries, you have a nice little pan of watercolor paint.
And look at your palette. You have really warm green colors, dark colors. You have black.
Yeah, I make that from charred wood. And I mix it with the creek shale to give it a smoother texture. But see, all of these colors are Ozark colors. The blues come from lapis, which is definitely not an Ozark color.
Lapis comes from
Afghanistan.
Vivid green paint pigments are hard to come by, so she'll use malachite, another non-native mineral. She arranges the small cubes of dried watercolor pigment into metal tins with a written color guide pasted on the inside lid. Tempera paints are a mixture of minerals and egg yolk, she says. And oil paints?
And oil paints, you mix that with linseed oil, and there's a few other oils you can use too, but linseed dries at a pace that's suitable for painting.
Madison Woods, a self-taught artist, learned to draw first with Prismacolor pencils, later graduating to watercolor using the hand-crushed creek minerals.
They're wild Ozark paleo paints. Paleo because they're ancient, from rocks that have been around. Our Ozarks are very ancient.
She was prompted to experiment after seeing lots of cracked sandstone on her driveway. Her land is really rocky, and that spurred her to do a little research
for how paint used to be made, and lo and behold, this is how it was done. So I just reenacted it. And then on Instagram, there's a really good community of handmade paint makers, and they're open to sharing information on how things are done. So hashtag handmade paint makers or hashtag handmade watercolors.
Paleo paints on paper and canvas are rougher, she says, and reflect light differently than synthetic plastic pigments. Minerals contain a spectrum of colors which are scattered by light.
Oh, yes, and when you start looking at all the pigments all over the world, there are so many different arrays of colors. And every location has its own signature colors. So I'm excited about bringing the Ozark colors to the world, and I'm interested in exploring some of the other regional colors.
On her workbench, Woods has arranged all of her pigments in corked vials with samples of her watercolor work nearby.
It starts on the end with, it was a white limestone that I ground up, but I mixed it with some wood char to make a light gray. And then it moves into a greenish gray. And then some plant pigments that I used, they're called lake pigments because they're precipitated. It's a little chemistry involved, but you can get pigments from plants that way. And those are a yellow and a green. The green and the yellow are not as light fast. But it moves into a yellow and a little pink and a little more reddish brown, and then all the way to the other end where it's pretty brown.
Her Ozark mineral pigments are not light sensitive, she says, like commercially manufactured artists' paints.
The earth pigments will last forever. That's just the same thing that the cave people used for making their paintings in caves. And look how long that's lasted.
She picks up a painted paper sample, which is a deep russet.
Yes, that comes from a sandstone that's a really orangey russet color. And I use this a lot in our native birds. The kestrels have a lot of this color in them, so this is one of my most favorite colors.
Propped up on the bench is a framed watercolor of a raptor, a goshawk, painted with Ozark minerals.
I can do a lot of nature painting just using these paints, and it'll still look like it should look. It's not like an interpretation based on a different color palette because nature is reflected in these rocks.
Madison Woods, an author, blogs about her myriad creative wilderness ventures on her website, Wild Ozark. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can find Madison Woods' work on Etsy or at the Fayetteville Farmers Winter Market. That winter market's held every Saturday morning at Ozark Natural Foods Co-op. This is Ozarks at Large.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. We're in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio with Jaina Moffitt. She's a math teacher at Lincoln Junior High School. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for having me here.
We're going to be talking about actually a service fair that Lincoln Junior High School in Bentonville is going to be putting on next week. That's January 16th.
So this is actually our annual event now, and this is our third year to do it. And basically, the way that this started is we are wanting to empower our youth to become citizen leaders. And so we're asking them to do a project that we call the Social Impact Project, where they are going to impact the community somehow. It could be an individual, it could be animals, it could be a group of people. Then once they figure out what they're going to impact and how they're going to impact the group that they choose, then they use their resources and things that have been taught throughout the year to do that. And we have a presentation night at the end of the year. We've had some phenomenal projects. For example, last year we had a group of boys who they created a hand that was 3D engineered and printed. And this was for two preschool children who were the ages of 4 and 5 who did not have hands. And so that was just one particular project that was just really, really neat to see. And every student has their own passion, and so therefore they get their own project. They come up with it themselves. They come up with the entire proposal. In order to do that, we need them to know about what some of these issues are in our community and how they can start making networks and connections with people to figure out more about their community needs, and then, of course, how to go about affecting those community needs. And that's where the service fair comes from. And so I would encourage any nonprofit out there who would like to educate and help youth know about them and the different things that they offer and how our youth can benefit them or their communities, please reach out to me and I'd be happy to set you up with a table on the morning of the 16th.
Your email address?
The letter J, Moffitt, M-O-F-F-I-T, at BentonvilleK12.org.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF, where local matters. Remember, if something cool in your neighborhood is taking place, let me know. My email address is pete@kuaf.com.
With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Lee Wood, who is the host and producer of the KUAF Vinyl Hour, heard every Saturday evening at 5. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And we're well into 2019 now.
It's official.
Yes.
It is 2019.
Yes.
This week's show is really fun. I have a co-host who wins the award for traveling the farthest to be on the Vinyl Hour.
How far?
From Nantucket.
That's a distance.
Yeah, Massachusetts. It's a while. I mean, he's from Arkansas, and he was here over the holidays to visit his family. So it wasn't just to be on this program. But he did bring records from Massachusetts.
For the show.
For the show.
So that counts.
I do think that counts. It's Brian Jennings, who is a native of Marshall, Arkansas, and went to college here. And for people of a certain age and a certain ilk, you may recognize him because he was a bartender at many places around town, JR's included, and the Ozark Brewing Company, you know, that was originally there on Dixon Street. And so Brian brought a lot of records. He's been a fan of the Vinyl Hour for a number of years, and he wanted to be on. So it was really fun to have him on.
Oh, good.
And he played a good selection of things, sort of current favorites, especially bands that he'd seen live recently. He's a big component of going to see live music, which I really enjoy. Of course, he's there close to Boston, so he has a lot of opportunities. And before that, he was in Colorado, so he's seen a lot of things at, like, Red Rocks. It's hard to listen to him and to not get jealous. But I love that he's always like, do it. Go see that person. You never know. But then there's a good mixture, too, of some of just his favorites, classic favorites. And it runs the gamut, really, from, like, outlaw country and kind of that just outlier to just straight ahead good rock and roll.
So give me an example of some of what we'll hear.
So the artist that started this whole thing off is Terry Allen. Do you know Terry Allen?
Oh my goodness. Country artist?
Country artist, but he's also a sculptor and a artist that lives in LA.
Yeah.
He's a really interesting musician, great songwriter, really great songwriter. So Terry Allen was sort of the spark of why he wanted to be on the show. So we listened to some Terry Allen. We listened to Harry Dean Stanton.
The actor.
The actor. Also kind of one of those outliers.
Oh, yes.
You know? And then we listened to, like, the Drive-By Truckers. Mm-hmm. Great rock and roll outfit. Used to play Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. Then some of the newer acts that he loves, Natural Child, which is this great blues-influenced, Americana-influenced Nashville band. Lazy Americana was the name that came up when we were talking about this band. And then Car Seat Headrest.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
He saw them recently in Boston, and he said it was a great show. So there's a mixture of new and old and things that make him remember Fayetteville and then things that, you know, he's going to see live in Boston.
All right. Did he wax nostalgic about Marshall at all?
Oh, just a little. You know, he grew up on a dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
And, uh-huh, like, learning how to work. Because now he works at a distillery and a brewery in Nantucket. And, you know, it's the same kind of... He's into manual labor, but he's also into molecular biology.
There you go.
And both apply, so...
Saturday evening at 5, it's the KUAF Vinyl Hour on 91.3. If you're busy then, Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF3. Lee Wood, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kyle.
Al vermi tan solo y triste cualo al viento quisiera llorar, quisiera morir de sentimiento o tierra del sol suspiro por verte.
Often right about here, we give you a tease about something that will be on tomorrow's show, an audio snippet as a preview. But all of our stories and interviews on tomorrow's show are taking place between now and then, so we're going a bit further into the future and tell you that on Monday's Ozarks at Large, we'll have a discussion about how public programs about history and humanities can serve a big purpose.
In about over a year, one of the things that we'll do, we'll focus on an enslaved African American from Fayetteville by the name of Nelson Hackett. And Nelson Hackett is one of these common people who reshaped the United States and the Atlantic world very profoundly.
If you have never heard of Nelson Hackett, tune in to our Monday Ozarks at Large at noon and 7. His story and others in a conversation we'll bring you then. And we will have an all-new show tomorrow at noon and 7 with stories about affordable housing, education, business, and more. Ozarks at Large every weekday at noon and 7 on your public radio station 91.3 KUAF.
The Alma Performing Arts Center presents Still Magnolias by Robert Harling, February 21st at 7:30 p.m. Originally opening off-Broadway in 1987, Still Magnolias was adapted to the big screen in 1988, where six women's lives increasingly hinged on the existence of one another. Tickets and information at almapac.org or 632-2129. 91.3 FM KUAF is supported by Penguin Edge Barbecue, offering weekend breakfast each Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 11 a.m. at the Mission and Crossover location in Fayetteville. Menu items include quiche, pancakes, breakfast tacos, and more. PenguinEds.com. Still on the Hill, folk musicians Kelly and Donna Mulholland will present Cane Hill, a concert celebrating the rich heritage of the Washington County community of Cane Hill, January 19th at 2 p.m. at the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History. The first 100 families will receive a free Cane Hill CD, located at 118 West Johnson Avenue in downtown Springdale. 750-8165 or shilohmuseum.org. for information.
Hey, a quick reminder, we're looking for your help. In just a couple of months, we will begin our 30th year of Ozarks at Large as a news magazine that will lead up to the 30th anniversary of that first magazine edition on March 10th, 2020. We know we've covered a lot in those 29 plus years, but we know there's a lot we haven't. So, is there something we've missed? Something that perhaps is older than Ozarks at Large? We're looking for the icons that have slipped under our radar. If you have an idea of something that is an institution in the Arkansas River Valley, the Arkansas or Missouri Ozarks, or in eastern Oklahoma, let us know. You can send us an email to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com, and thank you.
Years ago, a psychologist had some bizarre ideas for settling child custody battles.
An option, and I'm very serious about this, is to take the kid and put him in jail.
And his theories are still turning kids' lives upside down.
I kind of lost out on my childhood. I lost out on my father. I lost out on my brother being there. And they did that to me.
Bitter Custody, on the next Reveal.
Reveal at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon on 91.3 KUAF.
Welcome to the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. Northwest Arkansas technology company Telecomp Holdings is expanding to Tulsa. The company announced an acquisition Tuesday, and we'll go over the details a little later with Telecomp Chief Operating Officer Chris Beattie. We begin today with news of another merger involving Zero Mountain, the Fort Smith-based cold storage facility operator, announcing earlier this week it was combining its business with Sioux City, Iowa-based Cloverleaf Cold Storage. In business since 1952, Cloverleaf is the seventh largest public refrigerated warehouse company in North America. The company employs around 1,200 people and operates 19 warehouses in 8 Midwest and Southeastern states, with more than 102 million cubic feet of capacity. Zero Mountain was founded in 1951, and it employs 427 people and operates 5 facilities in Arkansas. The company manages more than 38 million cubic feet of capacity in Fort Smith, Central Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, and Russellville, and is the 11th largest cold storage warehouse business in the United States. That deal is expected to close in the next couple of months. Terms of the private transaction were not disclosed. You can read more about that story on our website at nwabusinessjournal.com. When we come back, a conversation with Telecomp executive Chris Beattie here on this edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. That's because First Security is 100% focused on serving customers all across the state and nowhere else. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. And OneCom. OneCom provides communications options to help your business adapt to today's demands with tomorrow's technology. With opportunities in virtualization, redundancy, or maximizing your efficiency. Learn more at onecom.com. That's one-comm.com.
Bentonville-based technology company Telecomp Holdings has acquired Telegen Solutions of Tulsa. The purchase was completed last month and announced by both companies on Tuesday. Financial terms of the deal between the two privately held companies were not disclosed. Telecomp offers hosted cloud phone systems and contact centers on a proprietary cloud platform. With the Telegen acquisition, the company gains a physical office on 46th Street in Tulsa and about a dozen employees. The company now has about 45 employees working in offices in Northwest Arkansas, downtown Little Rock, and Tulsa. Chris Beattie is the Chief Operating Officer of Telecomp, and earlier this week we discussed the significance of entering the Oklahoma market, plus what might be on the horizon for Telecomp in 2019.
This acquisition gives us access to the Oklahoma market and gives us brick-and-mortar presence inside a rapidly growing and important market for Telecomp. We feel like it's underserved in the technology industry in Tulsa, and we're going to bring significant technology offering to existing Telegen customers as well as our customer base inside Tulsa.
Right, and so now you guys have offices in Northwest Arkansas, downtown Little Rock, and now Tulsa. And this is a fairly established company there, right?
Yes, They've been around for over 15 years.
Okay. And so, you know, other than the geographic aspect of getting you into that Tulsa metro market, the Oklahoma market, you know, what made Telegen such an attractive acquisition prospect? What gaps do they fill? What business services, if there are any, do they fill for telecom?
Well, Telegen has a historically strong position in the hospitality market. And historically, we've not done any hospitality technology work. And we're looking forward to expanding that offering throughout Arkansas and for also bringing some of our services that fit into the hospitality market over to Oklahoma. Additionally, they have a cabling arm, which we don't have any cabling, low voltage cabling, wiring, that sort of thing for offices, and we've always subbed that out, and this will give us the opportunity to bring that in-house and provide our customers the service directly from Telecom.
So describe your Oklahoma customer base. You said that you mentioned this will give you a better leg to serve existing customers in Oklahoma. What percentage, I guess, maybe of your business are customers in Oklahoma?
You know, I'd be guessing to, okay. What percentage is over in Oklahoma.
Okay.
It's probably around 20%.
Okay.
We've got some large universities and medical facilities over there. We also have some lower education accounts.
Okay. And besides that, well, this will probably allow you to add new business to the market in addition to existing customers, right?
Absolutely. This will allow us to expand and offer our products and services to customers, to prospects that aren't customers yet, that don't even know, they don't know what they need from a technology perspective. And we like to go in and listen and see how we can put technology into their business to help them operate more efficiently.
All right. So now Telecom is in Tulsa. What kind of staffing level there at that Oklahoma office? Any additional employees there other than the existing Telegen people? Anyone relocating from this market? Anything like that?
Telegen had 12 people in their office, and we had two people working in the Tulsa area. They just didn't have a physical office. So they'll be joining the office space there, and we're looking to hire 2 to 3 more folks immediately in Tulsa.
All right. Well, let's talk 2019 now for the business. I know you have a big move coming up in a few weeks, relocating your headquarters, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But after that, what is the growth strategy that is moving the company forward the rest of the year and even beyond? Where do you see the business going, and what's driving that?
Well, we are focused on our hosted cloud product, which is a phone service that connects over the internet to our servers in our data centers. We have data centers in Little Rock and in Bentonville now. It's going to be moving to Rogers. What is driving this growth that we've been experiencing is a unique product offering with both the technology that we offer, but also our customer service really sets us apart. People on the coast that sell this type of product are very much drop ship, you phones, no relationship at all. And we really build a relationship with our customer. We're there to train them, do all the work for them. So all they have to do is pick up the phone and make a phone call. They don't have to worry about plugging in phones, doing programming, porting their own phone numbers. We manage everything for them.
Okay. Well, how about other mergers or acquisitions? Those a possibility? Will the business climate still be ripe for that kind of activity for Telecom, maybe?
Yeah, I don't expect the market to slow down at all, at least not in the central United States. We're kind of insulated from the macroeconomic and geopolitical items that are happening in the world. Mm-hmm. And I would expect that another merger acquisition could be on the horizon this year.
Yeah, one of the many, many benefits of living and working in Northwest Arkansas, you're right. Well, in the near future, as we did mention, you're on the verge of moving your headquarters in Northwest Arkansas from downtown Bentonville to a new office building in the Pinnacle Hills area in Rogers, I guess kind of in between Pleasant Grove Road and the Pauline Whitaker Parkway roundabout. What's the strategy behind that decision?
Well, we really ran out of room in downtown Bentonville. We needed some more collaborative workspace places to be able to get all of our staff into one room and have meetings and do training. We also found that we needed more room for our network operations center, so this allows us to expand that and bring it into the same building that we're operating out of, where now it's off-site in a secondary location.
BD said the company is hoping to have its downtown Bentonville headquarters fully relocated to the new office in Rogers by February 1st. Finally today, we'll complete a hat trick of acquisition news. Lowell-based carrier J.B. Hunt has paid $100 million to acquire a New Jersey company called Corey First Choice Home Delivery. That investment by J.B. Hunt will further advance its final mile delivery capabilities of big and bulky products to consumers and expand its expertise in furniture delivery. You can read more about that story at nwabusinessjournal.com. And we are out of time today for this edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.
A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Green Forest. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. Contributors to today's show included Antoinette Grajeda and Jacqueline Froelich. Timothy Dennis mastered our show today. Thanks very much to Lee Wood from the Vinyl Hour for stopping by. You can hear the Vinyl Hour Saturday evening at 5 on 91.3. Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF3. Also, big thanks to Daniel Breen at KUAR in Little Rock for his contribution today as well. Our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. You can see and hear Daryl Sean perform often on his Facebook page. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. We will end with music from Dawson Hollow, recorded exclusively for us at the Carver Center for Public Radio, engineered by Timothy Dennis, and our end of music show curated by Antoinette Grajeda. This is Dawson Hollow. We bring this up because they will be in Eureka Springs at Chelsea's Saturday night. You can learn more about them at DawsonHollow.com. Thanks for spending part of your Thursday with us. Back tomorrow at noon and 7.
Drop him down.